Welcome to Sabbath School once again. This is a time of year when people do a lot of traveling and people are coming and going, and I see that several of our members are not here. But let's get going anyway. We're ready to start a new quarter. So we're, quote, in July already. And this is a quarter which most of you don't have your quarterlies yet. If you go down to the Book and Bible House, or the Adventist Book Center, you'll be able to buy them. But apparently the church doesn't have their supplies ready yet. But we'll have those for you next week. So this quarter is about Old Testament couples, and you could probably guess that we start off with Adam and Eve. And before we do that, let's begin in the usual way, and then I have a couple of introductory thoughts for you. Let's bow our heads. Our loving Father, we come to you once again, facing a new quarter and thinking about new issues and new challenges to understand. May we come nearer to you as a result of these studies together is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. The teacher's quarterly, and I haven't seen the regular one. All I've seen is the teacher's. It has a very interesting note to begin this quarter that I thought I would share with you. In his will, German poet Heinrich Heine offered his estate to the man who married his widow. The reason, he said, was that this way he'd be sure that there would be at least one person who mourned his death. You've all heard jokes about Adam and Eve. I just thought here's a couple more that you can think about as we start our lesson. What excuse did Adam give to his children as to why he no longer lived in Eden? You can see it on the screen here. Your mother ate us out of house and home. And then this one on the politician's chaos theory. Three people, a doctor, an engineer, and a politician, were arguing over whose contribution to humankind was the greatest. The doctor said, "The Lord created Eve from Adam. That involved a surgical procedure. Therefore, we doctors were there from the creation." "No way," the engineer interrupted. "Go back a step. The Lord created the universe from chaos. That was the greatest engineering feat in history. My profession was the one that was there at the beginning." "Fair enough," the politician piped in, "but who do you think created all that chaos in the first place?" So lots of stories, and we'll share some of them as we go along. So our lesson for today is Adam and Eve, the intended ideal. And the Adam and Eve story is certainly familiar. I mean, even if you take the expanded version as we read in Patriarchs and Prophets, it's a very brief story. We only have a very, very few details. In fact, as you know, the whole book of Genesis covers at least half of this world's history, and there what it is, 50 chapters. I mean, that's half of this world's history in terms of time, at least half. And there it is, one tiny little book. And we have very little reliable information outside of what's in that one book of the Bible. So from this brief story, how much can we learn? How much can we read between the lines? How much can we conclude and so forth? And I would add, the real message of the Adam and Eve story is what was going on behind the scenes. What did the other beings in the universe think as they watched God creating this world in the very presence of the devil? Now, how do we know for sure that the devil was present? I guess we should go over here. I'll make this a little bit bigger type for you. Do you remember the verse? Revelation 12. Verse 9, I think it is there. The huge dragon was thrown out. This is after the rebellion in heaven. That ancient serpent called the devil or Satan that deceived the whole world. He was thrown down to earth and all his angels with him. And that was before or after the Garden of Eden story. Why do you think it would be before? Let's think these through. We've got to have answers to these questions. Why do we say that happened before the Garden of Eden story? Larry? Mic down here.
Ooh. Well, because in the Garden of Eden narrative, when Eve went over to the tree, that Satan was already there.
Yeah, exactly.
So he was there at the kind of the beginning of this discourse.
Right, exactly. So what do we have here? We have him being thrown out of heaven in Revelation 12, and we have him there in the garden at the time things started, apparently. So we can be reasonably sure that during the creation, the devil and his angels are standing around. Now, some have suggested, as I'm sure some of you are aware, that when God cast the devil down to this earth, he did so for a specific reason. The devil had wanted to be a creator. And some have suggested that he cast the devil down to this earth, not to this world, not to the finished product all polished up and made nice and pretty in a Garden of Eden, etc., but he cast him down to this world when it was nothing but a lump of rock and mud and whatever else was here, and said, okay, you want to be a creator? See what you can do. And that's why it says in Genesis 1, he came down to this earth, and what was here when God began to create? The Hebrew says, tohu wa vohu, chaos. You know, the various names that are used for it, nothing but a mess. The devil was not able to do anything. So God came, and we know what he did. He made a beautiful place out of it. Had the universe looking on ever seen anything quite like this before? How did it feel about God's work at the end of this first week? And you all, I'm sure, are familiar with this, but let's just look at the evidence for that. Remember Proverbs 38, verse 7? Come on. Got to do better than that. My computer is complaining here. Sorry. That's me, I think, down here. Okay. Now I'm turn it off completely. Okay. Sorry about that. Let's try again. See if we can get this to work right. Why? Hold on. This is my fault. That's supposed to be Job. How did I get to Proverbs? Okay. New chapters in Proverbs. Yeah, exactly. I'll have to fix that. Sorry. It's supposed to be Job 38:7. We can go over there. You remember the passage? Man, I don't know where that Proverbs thing came from. In the dawn of that day, the stars sang together and the heavenly beings shouted for joy. And so we have evidence for this. I don't think I need to go through that. But the stars here and the heavenly beings, those are parallel. So it means that the creatures in the rest of the universe were rejoicing when they saw what God did on that beautiful, wonderful first week of creation. But we have to be honest to say, God was the only one who knew what was coming. Did he create, and this now we're getting into the tough questions, did he create Adam and Eve specifically in preparation for the great controversy? What do you think? Did God start out saying, I know trouble is coming, so let me make provision?
Yes.
Jim seems quite convinced about it. What about the rest of you? Anyone? Were we as creatures made specifically in a way to deal with Satan's accusations? Because really that's what we're talking about. And if you say yes, then of course I'm going to ask you in what way. Anybody? Larry.
Well, I think he created them with the demonstration of freedom. I think that was part of the argument in heaven that Satan was saying, I need to have the freedom to do what I want to do. I want to be on your right side and be a leadership. So I think the creation of Adam and Eve was part of the demonstration of what is it like to be completely free to make choices.
Yeah. But now, are you implying that the people who lived before Adam and Eve, the people in the rest of the universe, were not free?
Well, I think there was probably they were probably already in existence. I don't know what their longevity is for the other beings in the other universe part. But there's probably something different between Adam and Eve and the other world inhabitants.
We have that here in the quotation, don't we? All heaven took a deep and joyful interest in the creation of the world and of man. Human beings were a new and distinct order. They were made in the image of God, whatever that means, and it was the Creator's design that they should populate the earth. So being made in the image of God, does that have something to do with populating the earth? Don?
I believe that we were created to be part of the answer to Satan's accusations, and then we became part of the problem.
Okay. Tell me how you think we could become part of the answer.
We were answering the questions that God was selfish and wouldn't allow his creatures these.
And because we've been so unselfish, we've proved that God's unselfish? No, you know, I'm just teasing. No, really, the devil had said God is not willing to share his creative power. And so what does God do? He makes us, we can't create like de novo like he does, but we can procreate. Yes, Wally.
Are you saying that he didn't do that with previous creations? I mean, it sounds to me like if you say that he created us just for this purpose, so to speak, did he not give all the other worlds he created before us that same freedom?
Well, I wouldn't want to limit anybody's freedom. I think God gave everybody freedom. But I do believe that he gave us a new kind of freedom, if you will, and that's this power, which the angels don't have, according to Jesus in Matthew 19. He gave angels the power to, I mean, he gave us the power to procreate. We can create little beings like ourselves. And as far as we can tell, I mean, this quotation I just read you there from Review and Herald, February 11, 1902, or from Bible Commentary 1081, that's Volume 1 of the Bible Commentary, 1081.3, that suggests that this specific way in which we are more like God, in the image of God, is our ability to procreate. That at least suggests that. Van?
Well, I have several thoughts on one on what you just said. Anybody who's a child in a family, and most of us here are like that, or have children, understand that that's a little micro great controversy. but I think we have to be careful when we say this earth was created to demonstrate the great controversy, in that we have to be very careful about how we talk about that. When God created this earth, it was very good. And I think it was perfect. I think it was capable of standing for eternity without mistrusting God. However, I think in God's foreknowledge, he knew that that would not happen, and that this was an opportunity for everyone to see all the little parts that can be played and played out in the controversy to answer all these questions about God.
So the question now is, did God, in his creating of us, say, I know what's going to happen, I'm going to make them free. They don't have to sin, but in case they do, I'm going to make them a little different. That's the question. John.
Well, in John 17, Jesus talks about God the Father, God the Son, and the people that God the Father gave to God the Son. And he doesn't talk about angels or any other created beings. Yeah. In that sounds like he excludes everyone else from being like God or part of God or the same flesh and blood as God or whatever you want to call it.
Of course,
that
Jesus there was speaking specifically about human beings and to human beings. So, I mean, here he's praying to the Father, but he's talking about us.
Well, he's talking about his glory before his trip to earth.
Yeah, before he got to John 17, however, in John 12, he said, I will be lifted up so that everyone can be saved.
Does he mean people, everyone, or angels, or what?
If you believe what Ellen White says, and I think it's Patriarchs and Prophets 59, somewhere in there, she says everyone includes the whole universe.
Saved.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, that they needed this demonstration. They needed the help. They needed to learn the lessons that came from the cross. So, okay. What, anybody else going to help us here? Okay, Ken?
Well, I think it's interesting, too, that when God created, we talked about humans have the ability to procreate, but when God created, he created by speaking.
Psalm 33.
Right. And we actually, as humans, can create by speaking. You think about running a company or a university, and you give a command, and you create a program, a building. We have quite a bit of power because it comes from visualizing and then speaking out a command. The other thing I wanted to put out is we were proposing to do some work for a group called the Self-Realization Fellowship. And I don't know if you know about them, but it's an Indian yogi who came over in the 20s and started a sort of a Christian group. And I read some of his books just trying to understand their group before we did our architectural presentation. And in the end of his little sayings, he talks about how we were put here to entertain God. Our lives here are entertainment for the gods. And I thought that was a very interesting angle of how of what we're going through. Is it actually entertainment?
Yes. Yeah. Well, and you know, we smile at that, but that was a very common idea in ancient times. A lot of the ancient non-Christian religions, the non-Jewish religions, and those, that was the idea. The gods got tired of just doing things with themselves, and what else can we do? Well, make some people, and we can play with them. Yeah, that was very common in the ancient society. So that's probably where he got that from. Well, moving on now through the story, what do you think these beings who were familiar with God and how powerful he was and sovereign and probably had seen him speak whole worlds into existence, just as you suggested, with the words of his mouth. What do you think they thought was going on when they saw God apparently kneeling over down here on planet Earth and forming Adam out of clumps of dirt? You ever stop to ask yourself that? What did they think was going on there? Has God returned to his childhood, or what's going on here, man?
He wasn't playing with Bud.
Well, he was playing with Bud.
He wasn't playing with it. God spoke, and these things came into existence, and that showed his power. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody in the universe would deny that, including Satan, that he had great power to create something out of nothing and make it orderly. But when it come to Adam, I think God says, you know, I need a different demonstration here. I need to show that I am personally and intimately involved with this creature. So he formed him out of the mud, out of the dirt, and then kissed him. He breathed into him that breath of life.
Well, I asked here, do you think he did CPR on him?
We are on life support right now, so, you know, I don't know that the medical model is not appropriate.
Okay.
But it seems to me as though it was very personal. I think the universe looked at this and said, wow, God really does love his creation.
Yeah. Were they in any sense jealous? Did they think that, you know, he didn't do that when he created us? You know, why is he making such a fuss over these guys? Lorna.
we really don't know exactly what their order is. Mm-hmm. And they may have seen this regularly. God went down and got into the mud and made something, and that's how they turned out. And they had, and then he populated a world with them. And it just, you know, we can't go from, because we're unique, doesn't mean God didn't make them in the same way.
Okay, yeah, that's true. We don't know that for sure. Dave?
He could demonstrate a thousand or even a million different ways of doing it and still come out with the same result. His creative ability is unlimited, so whatever method he uses, it just...
Well, of course, the question here is, do we learn anything about him from his methods? You know, is there a reason why he did it this way that we need to learn something from? And that's the reason we raised the question.
Well, I'm curious, you know, if I was working with clay, and yes, I have worked with clay, but not making things. I worked in the art department with clay. And it all looks the same to me. But there's gray clay, red clay, there's different kinds. But did he make it literally out of mud and it was wet, or did he fire it? I mean, how would he get the small intestines to do all that? You know, that's...
Yeah. I mean, that's a very good question. I mean, you know, we can form stone or even clay, depending on what quality it is. But you can't form dust very well. Dust is probably not the right word. It was probably clods. It was something like this. I mean, you know, in terms of our limitations, yeah, that would be...
Back to the small intestines. Did he ream it out, you know? I mean...
Well, I mean, these are things we don't know.
How did he do all the feli in there?
Yeah, exactly. Well, he has abilities that we go way beyond what we know anything about, doesn't he? Yeah. Well, and then having made this beautiful creature, what did they think when they saw God reach in and rip out a rib? God, did you make a mistake? What happened? Why are you taking part of it out? You know, and what do you think they thought was happening when he took the rib and made Eve out of it? You know, I suspect that, well, go ahead. You comment before I comment. John?
They have something going on now called stem cell.
Yes.
It comes out of bone, doesn't it, mostly? Ribs?
Some can.
Isn't the best out of ribs?
I don't know about that the best is out of ribs, but yeah, some comes out of... It's possible, yeah, from the marrow inside. Yes, Lorna?
Isn't it possible that he gathered them all around him and said, I'm going to populate this world, and I'm going to make this kind of a person, and here's what I'm doing, and, you know, we're going to start with marble, and then I'm going to speak it into life or whatever, yeah. And now I'm going to make another one, and it's going to be different, but it's going to be the same order, mm-hmm. And this is how I'm going to make it. I'm going to take a rib out of it. It could have been anatomy teaching class.
Well, the point, I think you have the right idea, in my opinion. The issue is this. Let's go the other end of history. Let's go way off into the future. If after we get to heaven and everything sort of settles back down again and sin is done away with, etc., and God says, I'm ready to make another world or another universe, another galaxy, whatever he chooses to make, wouldn't you want to watch? I mean, I think when God gets ready to do something, especially if he's hinting that he's doing something new and unique, I mean, everybody, I'm sure the whole universe is watching. I mean, this is the action that's going on in our universe. This is what's happening. See? I mean, at least that's the way I see it. Don?
It was interesting to me in the story of redemption how after Satan fell, you know, and his angels... And
you're getting way ahead of the story here.
I'm talking about up in heaven.
Yeah, before. No, I know.
But when we see that the creation, even a man, was an answer to the charges, God was proactive. He didn't just lay back and, you know. And so if you understand it, and again, this is not extra biblical, I have to say, as patriarchs and prophets and so on, but basically, God was charged with being selfish with his creator power. And it says immediately they went ahead to then with the creation of this earth.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So now we'll take the next step in the sequence. You know, you've heard, the whole universe is watching. They have seen Adam, I mean, they've seen God give instructions to Adam and Eve. They know exactly what he's told them. And so you're watching one day, and there they are in the garden, and you see Eve going this way and Adam going that way. They're just doing their normal thing. They're not doing anything unusual, but they're getting further and further apart. What do you think? Yes, Wally, were you going to comment?
Well, my thought was just from what was said a little while before is that if we would have known, let's say we had the ability as God to know the future and known where the creation of Adam and Eve would have led to the point of where we're at today, as an example, would we have gone ahead and created that?
Well, of course, we as humans would want to say, well, no, I don't want to create these. I mean, look what's going to happen. But God doesn't do that, and the question is why? Those are the questions we need to come to. I mean, was God bound some way to have to do this? I mean, he could have very easily. I mean, that's the point all along. At any point, God has said, well, I don't want to go any further down that road. He could have stopped it. Even as Eve reached for the whatever kind of fruit it was, he could have stopped her hand. He could have removed the tree. There's all kinds of ways he could have prevented that from happening if he really wanted to. Yeah, Wally.
Well, to me right now, that's why Lucifer looks like what he's accused God of almost looks truthful. He's saying that, well, look at where this has all led to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Brian.
It seems we never get to start at the very beginning mm-hmm. when we're discussing this particular incident. You know, starting in heaven, I have never read anywhere that Lucifer wanted to create. I understood he was envious because Jesus, you know, his son, God's son, was being called in for plans in creating this earth. And all heaven was very interested, and he wanted to be part of it, and it broke down from there. But the rest of the universe see when he's down here by himself now, he gathers his angels around him, and they begin to plot as to how they can tempt Adam and Eve and bring about the downfall of this creation?
Well,
even before Eve is close to the tree.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that seems to be true, doesn't it? Doesn't it look like that's what happened? That the universe is probably watching as they, I mean, I don't know. Does Satan have a way of keeping the rest of, I mean, does Satan have a way of hiding his plans from the good angels? Can they see over into his camp? Can he see in God's camp?
They can't read his mind, correct?
Well, apparently not. God can.
Yeah, so, you know, when Ellen White describes his great frame shaking as if mm-hmm. by a strong breeze, when he considers what it would be to have Adam and Eve brought down to his level, I mean, the whole emotional reaction that takes place within him himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We need to keep moving on. All this is sort of background for our story for today. So Eve walks away from Adam, or Adam walks away from Eve. I don't know which. By the way, was Eve told to stay by Adam, or was Adam told to keep Eve next to him?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, that's the right answer. Yeah, actually, the way it's stated almost sounds like it was more Adam's responsibility to keep close to Eve. I don't know that that's true for sure, but it seems to hint at that. So as they saw Eve wandering away, these beings from the rest of the universe, did they want to say, stop, go back? Brian.
God expended a great deal of energy in warning them, sending them messages, uh-huh. So they were fully aware, as far as they could be, had God taken the tree out or in some other way prevented her choice, he would have interrupted the way he runs his universe from the beginning mm-hmm. by removing freedom.
Yeah. Okay. Lorna, go ahead. Go ahead.
They were very naive. Eve was very naive. They had never been mm-hmm. tempted.
Yeah.
Nothing bad had ever happened. There was nothing evil in the garden except that tree. it just seems like they needed another warning. This is it. This is how it goes. Mm-hmm. You know, with my children, even when they were two and I snatched them out of the street, I'd say, car, fast, hurt. Mm-hmm. I'd use some other words to give the warning. And I might have had to do it a number of times because they were naive. They didn't understand. And it seems like she was very childlike and naive. And this was obviously an overwhelming temptation. She fell.
Now, someone could say, even from the great controversy perspective, if God stopped Eve somehow, or he allowed one of his angels to stop her from taking the apple, that's not fair. Satan would have jumped up and down and said, unfair, unfair, you know, whatever. I'm not arguing with that. That I can understand how that would happen. But why couldn't God just have distracted her a little bit? You know, so she went off this way and the tree was over here. There's so many ways that God could have prevented this. Why didn't he? Ryan.
He tried. I mean, again, from Ellen White's pen, she wandered, you know, she separated first unconsciously, unconsciously at first. But then as she became aware, she thought through the whole thing and thought, I can do this as well myself. And, you know, patted herself on the back and chose to continue. So God, in a sense, through her conscience and the Holy Spirit tried to prevent, but she chose to continue.
Okay, so we get to the tree now, and here's the conversation starts. What do you think the rest of the beings in the rest of the universe thought of this conversation? Was this the first, do you think it was the first idea? You know, I'm just thinking about this now. Had Satan kept this completely to himself? Now, we know that the angels can't read thoughts. So, had Satan kept this whole plan completely to himself, or had he communicated some of this to his angels? And if he communicated it to his angels, does that mean that the good angels would have a chance to listen in and hear what he had to say? What do you think? Or was this a complete shock to them when they saw Satan doing this? You don't think so? Yeah, Ben?
Well, I wonder, did God actually tell Adam and Eve about Satan, that he was an adversary of his, that he spreads lies and rumors, that he is now confined to this tree? How much disclosure was there prior to this incident?
I think in order to later appear to be fair to everybody, God would have had to have given them quite a bit of disclosure, as much as they could understand.
So with that in mind, and I tend to agree with that, if that's the case, then what would be the motive for Adam and Eve to approach this crafty critter?
This is the next step in the sequence. Do you think Eve arrived at this tree by accident? Or what do you think?
Well, the tree of life was right next to it.
Yeah, was she wandering around here doing everything? Whoa, and all of a sudden there she is in front of this tree. That's true. The tree of life was right beside, right nearby anyway. They saw this tree virtually every day.
But I think there may be another clue in here somewhere about this. Mm-hmm. Nowhere in the garden did they ever see an animal that could talk.
Yeah.
And here's this beautiful winged creature up in this tree, and I'm sure he's going, psst, psst, hey, come here. Have I got news for you? Mm-hmm. And then he proceeds to lay out his plan. Mm-hmm. Like, where have you ever in the garden seen anybody else talk, any other animal talk? And look at me. I'm smart. I'm wise. I can talk, and I ate this fruit. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure it was at least that good. Well, his story was very good, I'm sure. Okay, get down here, Wally. Were you going to say something? You started out.
Well, and I think we can't just assume that Adam and Eve were, or especially Eve, was being totally ignorant of the fact where she was. But I think we often say about, well, I think ice cream is not good, and I'm going to walk into the ice cream store and then decide not to eat ice cream. So I think that, you know, God's warned them that this area is is not what they should be doing.
But it wasn't surrounded with an electric fence.
No. Okay. And the part they didn't know about was the bad. So they knew about good. They were living good. And so I'm sure they're always thinking, well, what's this bad stuff?
Well, and let me just add to what you suggested. You know, here they had all these trees. We don't know how many different kinds of trees there were in the garden. Apparently the Garden of Eden is going to be there in heaven again. It's probably going to be full of all kinds of trees, of all sorts, with all kinds of fruit. And I mean, I don't know, when Adam and Eve were tending the garden, were they just wandering along? I don't think I've seen that one before. Let me try it. And okay, let me try this one. Let me try that one. Let me try this one. I mean, they were probably doing this all the time. See? Was this such a strange thing? Wally.
Do you think this happened on the first occasion that Eve approached, or that she actually made the decision, or do you think the conversation may have occurred, the encounter may have occurred more than once before that decision was made?
Well, Martin Luther, a little bit further down in the handout, I talk about this. Martin Luther says Satan specifically attacked Eve. I mean, that he really tried to get her, because if he had approached Adam, Adam would have said no. I'm just quoting. Don't point any fingers at me. I'm just quoting. Okay? So, I mean, the question is, and Adam and Eve obviously came to the tree of life every day to eat, and almost certainly they came together. So if the tree of knowledge of good and evil is very close to the tree of life, Satan must have had lots of opportunities to speak to Adam and Eve together. I mean, hey, you over there, at least, you know, a little ways away, and he didn't. He waits until Eve is by herself, and that raises questions. You know, was this the first time he'd ever seen one of them by themselves? That's either Adam or Eve. We don't know.
What does the Hebrew say for Genesis 3:6?
Don't ask me that. Let's see. Can I get
too
that?
Late?
Too late. It might take me a moment to get there. Any particular part of it that you were wondering about? Well, it's probably pretty close to what we have here in our Bibles. My guess is, let me see if I can come up with it real quick. Anyone else going to help us while I'm looking here? Go ahead, Lorna.
I wonder, where do you get the idea that Satan never spoke to them before?
Well, I didn't say he didn't. I'm just asking, is it a question? Okay, you wanted to know what it says, what the Hebrew says. There it is, right in front of you. Okay. Reading backwards from right to left, and if you have to sort of, you know, play with the words here. And she saw the woman, that is the woman, that was good, the tree for food, and that it was delight, it was a delight to the eyes, and was desirable, the tree, to make one wise, and she took from him the fruit. And she ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Okay? That's as literal as you can get. You probably can't read the little tiny print, right? There's four lines, five lines of text there. The top one is the actual Hebrew. The line under it is the for each given word, it's the root word for that word, and then the literal translation right under it, and then the attempt to make it sort of in the same sequence we would do in English is the fourth line, and then the fifth line tells you exactly what parts of speech it is. So now you know everything you need to know about Hebrew. Did you hear what you heard what I read? So it's pretty close to the King James rendering. Okay. Okay. So we don't know. It's at least Satan felt that this was an opportunity, and he jumped on it, and it worked. I mean, there's no question about that. Well, and then the next question, of course, comes is, when the snake starts talking to Eve like this, and she's startled. She can't believe that, you know, this is, how many different voices had Eve heard? Do we know? Two, why do you say that? Well, we know for sure she talked to God. We know for sure she talked to Adam. Ellen White also says they were instructed by the angels. So there were other voices she had heard, but she'd never heard a snake talking. I don't know what a snake talking would sound like, or whether I'll ever be able to find out. Well, yeah, we'll be able to see the video, I'm sure. Yeah, something like that, yeah. More like, hiss, hiss, or something. Yeah. Anyway. So at that point in time, as the conversation takes place, what should Eve have said? When she heard the snake talking, should she have run as fast as she could go? Should that be a normal response? She should have called for Adam. Okay, that was a possibility. Anybody else? What else? What do you think she should have done? Jerry?
I think it's human nature to be curious.
Yeah, there's no law against being curious.
Use your imagination and your own.
Of course, curiosity killed the cat,
exactly.
So you've got to be careful.
But, I mean, it's a fine line.
Yeah. Okay. Wally?
That's the reason I asked earlier whether she had approached it more than once and discussed it with him, because I just wonder if she ever went back to God and kindly brought up any of this conversation she had with him before she made her decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, of course the ideal thing would have been this. Eve should have... Oh, Don, he's going to fix it for me. Go ahead.
I want to confuse it a little more.
Okay.
Is that same snake's voice speaking to us today?
Do I have to answer that? Yeah, it is. And speaking whatever kind of ventriloquist terms he uses. I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Do we react the same way Eve did?
Run every time we hear it, right?
He just got a lot more help now.
He got a lot more help now, yeah. Man.
We can resist anything but temptation, you know.
Okay.
But it seems to me as though if we try really hard to explain why she did what she did, we're in trouble. Because I think there is no reason for mistrusting God. There is no reason to doubt him. Mm-hmm. And if we engage in this justification so much of her sin that we excuse it away and justify her behavior, and therefore she didn't really do what's wrong.
I hope we're not going to do that.
Well, but there's a danger there in that. I think she just plain decided that she would pay attention to him for some reason in her mind. That's not shared with us.
The point is, what she should have done and what we should do in a case, meaning the thing that's unusual about this situation, most of our sins, we know them very well already. We've done them lots of times before. See, this is not a surprise. There's nothing surprising about it. So, but to her, this was brand new territory. She'd never been there before. So what should she have done? Well, probably the right thing she should have done is said, you know, every day when we come here to eat from the tree of life, that tree has been there. That fruit has been right there. So let me do this. I will go back to Adam. I will discuss your conversation with him, and when God comes this evening, we'll discuss the conversation with God, and if it turns out that eating from this tree is the right thing to do, we'll be back tomorrow. What's wrong with that?
The problem is, as we have discussed several times before, Satan says, you know, but...
There's a sale on right now.
But, you know... He's not going to tell you the truth. So discussing it with him, is it really going to do you any good? Now, let me tell you the real story here.
Okay.
You know, I ate this fruit. Look at me. I'm talking and I'm smart and I'm wise. And you could be the same. And you could then circumvent God and you could learn all these things. And he won't have to lie to you in the process. And I think somehow there was trickery involved in his part, and she bought into it, and the sin that she committed was in believing Satan to the point where she distrusted God.
Okay, Don?
We're kind of in a little different position than Eve was, because just by our nature, you might say we're fallen human beings. Mm-hmm. And so when you say, is the snake still speaking us today, I think we're born in Satan's prison house. And I like what James says. First of all, submit to God. You know, we can do this daily. And then it says, resist the devil. And then it says,
he's going to run.
That's right. And well, and draw nigh to God.
Yeah.
So there's that part too. And God will draw nigh to us.
Yeah. Barna?
She had exactly what we have, which is God's word. Mm-hmm. And she had God's word that was in her mind, which we can have it in our mind also. And she probably had a perfect memory, so she knew every word he'd ever said. And we don't have that perfect memory, but we can have those words in our mind also.
Yeah, exactly. Jim?
Would it be fair to assume that they'd been told that they were created in the image of God?
Yeah.
And so the serpent says, hey, you're going to be, now you can be like God. Mm-hmm. That's not a lie. The deception was, no, you won't really die.
And trying to take a shortcut.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and coming back to the question that Lorna raised earlier, you know, why couldn't God give them, it's at the top of the screen there, why couldn't God give them some kind of punishment and then forgive them and give them one more chance? And we do that with our children all the time. Hundreds of times we do that. Wouldn't that have been more fair? I mean, why was it fair for God to throw them out, completely destroy all prospects at that point in time anyway of their eternal life, just because of this one relatively minor infraction? I'm putting in quotations. Yes, Wally.
I always wondered what would have happened if Adam and Eve would have said, you know, I made a mistake, I'm sorry, instead of accusing each other. What would have God done?
Well, and the other part of that question is, what would God have done if Adam had said, you know, I don't think God wants us to do this. I'm not going to take this fruit. Then what?
Martin Luther would have been right.
Martin Luther would have been right. Okay, Brian.
Yeah, why didn't God show up just as Eve was walking back to give Adam the fruit? He could have stopped everything right there. You know, just as you were talking about, you know, turning Eve away or distracting her. Mm-hmm. If God had showed up and was talking to Adam when Eve came back, you know, things could have been thwarted there even as easily.
What kind of a reaction do you think went through the universe when they sinned? You ever thought about that? Shock waves through the universe. You know, Satan is the only one so far, Lucifer's the only one in his group, he and his group, are the only ones so far who have given in to his temptations. And now all of a sudden there's a completely another, I mean, the cancer has metastasized. Yes.
If you take the position that sin is a disease, then forgiveness, I mean, I think that Adam and Eve were forgiven. The problem is, if the disease process had started and there's no shortcut to remedying the disease, it has to take a process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, looking at it from the human perspective, and this is what our lesson does, none of the stuff we've talked about is in our lesson. Don?
This is why I like to, why do we trust someone? You know, it's, we see they have a good record, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, if I needed heart surgery today, I'd probably come here to Loma Linda because they have a good, history of successes. Mm-hmm. This is why I like to look at the Bible as 66 books of evidence of diseased people. And I see how he healed these diseased people when they went to the physician. And he has a pretty good track record. I mean, if you can heal Solomon, if you can heal Manasseh, if you can heal James and John from selfish ambition, if you can heal Peter, you know, there's hope for us.
Yeah. Talking about how you should respond. I mean, as Christians, as loving people, we like to trust everybody. I was up very early this morning working on this lesson. Not early enough. I wish I'd had more time. But I was up very early this morning, and I don't know what was going on. I have no idea, and I've never heard anything like this before. My phone rings. So I pick up the phone, and the voice on the other end of the line says, "Would you like to reduce all your credit card bills?" And I'm wondering, what in the world is going on here? I said, "What group are you with?" Clunk. You know, on the other end of the line. As soon as I asked that, I mean, that's all I said. What group are you with? What are we talking about here? I mean, does that lead to trust? No way. You know, this person, whatever they were doing, calling people at 6 o'clock or 5:30 in the morning on Sabbath morning, I have no idea what organization, what group, or whatever. But anyway, to have trust, as Donna suggested, you need to have experience with somebody, or at least you need to know other people have experience and that the results have been good, right? That's the way trust is built. Well, let's just in the few minutes we've got left, let's talk about some of the major issues that are in the lesson as it was given to us. When God said, when he created human beings, making them to be like himself, Genesis 1:27, he created them male and female. What does that mean to you? Read it again. This is the Good News Bible. So God created human beings, making them to be like himself. He created them male and female. John, got to keep our answers short. We don't have a lot of time left.
Well, I've wondered if the English male and female is what the Hebrew said.
It does.
It does.
It does.
Well, what does the Hebrew fee mean? We know what a fee is.
No. There's nothing. In Hebrew, it's ish and isha.
Yeah, but
there's
no
fee involved.
Well, but in the English, fee is involved.
Well, but God didn't have anything to do with English language. Well, not much, I don't think.
Well, the significance of fee is...
What?
The inferior pays a fee to the superior.
Oh, no, this has nothing to do with that kind of fee. Okay, come on. Ken, I think you were next, and then Larry. Or go ahead, Larry, you got the mic.
I've always kind of had the feeling that, you know, in the Trinity, when God said that Christ is his only son, well, then that kind of leaves the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to have some feminine attributes to it. Mm-hmm. So I've always kind of thought that, you know, Eve was modeled after the Holy Spirit and Adam was modeled after Jesus Christ, in a sense that Christ was my only begotten son, mm-hmm. and therefore it leaves a feminine aspect to
well,
the Godhead.
You know, some groups have said that actually Adam was made like God and then Eve was made like Adam. You don't buy that?
No, I still think there's a feminine part of the Godhead. Because we said that Adam and Eve were made in the image of the Godhead, if you want to say that. So there's some feminine part, as we perceive feminine, in the Godhead.
When God made us male and female with the ability to procreate, did he in fact turn loose upon the universe a potential for a self-perpetuating monster? I mean, you know, angels are just angels. They have no way to reproduce, no way to make more of them. We can make more of us. And look what kind of a mess we've got ourselves into now already. Is this dangerous? Well, we don't have time to talk about this, but clearly, as Larry suggested, there are a number of the names of God in the Hebrew Old Testament where every noun is male or female or neuter. You know, those are the choices you have, like Spanish. And a number of the names of God in the Old Testament are female. What does that tell us? Interesting. We don't have time to go into some of that, but some of the most warrior-like names of God in some cases are female. What does that say? And we know about all the female images that God uses. I mean, I'm like a mother hen. I'm like this and that. We know about those. Ken, I'm sorry.
Basically, I think you're going in the direction that I was going to go. In other words, he gave us the ability to create other human beings.
Yeah.
Which, like, he was had the ability to create other beings. He gave us the ability to create other beings.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, this marriage relationship now, you've heard all kinds of stories, like, you've heard the story that marriage was the first union to defy management. I think that's probably true. There's all kinds of things we say about marriage, but what do you think God had in mind when he put these two together? And I guess before that, we need to try to answer very quickly the question, do you believe that Adam and Eve in the beginning were created equal? Or were they not equal? When they were first created, Larry.
Well, I think the whole point of taking a rib out of Adam's side was to at least symbolize that they were equal.
Okay.
They were stood side by side, and that was the taking, rather than starting over from dust with Eve, from scratch, if you will, but taking Eve from the side of, and that's what we've always been taught, that Eve was taken from the side of Adam to, you know, kind of symbolize equality.
You've heard the story about the men who looked at this thing and they watched God go into all these details and create Adam, and they said, you know, this is creation. This is really something made in my image. And then Eve was just an afterthought. Well, the women responded, and probably rightly so, and they said, God finished making Adam and he'd take one look. He says, that's pretty good, but we can do better than that. Eve would be the crowning work of creation, of course. Wasn't she the last? Absolutely. It starts out simple and it gets more and more complicated. All men know that women are more complicated than men. Right? Okay. So what was God's original plan for marriage? And this is probably going to have to be our last question. We're about running out of time. What do you think God's original plan, before sin came in, what was God's original plan for marriage? What did he have in mind for them? What were they supposed to accomplish? And one of the questions I asked in the handout there is, do you think they were immediately attracted to each other? And where did that attraction come from? Did God make us that way? John.
Well, I thought the idea was that they were to procreate and make the whole world a Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden was a little bit different than the rest of the world.
Apparently.
And so their work was to make the whole world a Garden of Eden.
Okay. Anybody else want to add to that? What was God's original purpose for marriage as we know it? Because this is a quarter about marriages, some good ones and some bad ones. What was God's original intention here? Van. Sorry, Wally, you're getting your exercise today.
Well, it says that she was to be his helpmeet, which I interpret as they were to work together. Mm-hmm. And I think that is summed up in Jesus' statements toward the end of his ministry, that that he and the Father are one just as we are to be one, that this was the, quote, atonement before atonement was ever a major issue on this planet, mm-hmm. but it was in the universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Don?
Well, in order to have security, you have to have perfect trust. Trust in each other, trust. They had to have trust in God. Also, educators even say today, no matter what age you are, in order to learn, you need two things, acceptance and love. Mm-hmm. And in that security, you can grow, and there's probably no limit.
Yeah. Okay, one more thing I want you to think about, and we just didn't get to it in our lesson. I'm sorry. It's there in the materials. Apparently, it was God's plan that women should learn something from men that would make them more godlike. And men were supposed to learn something from women that would make them more godlike. They were supposed to be a unity, but they weren't supposed to lose their individuality. So your question for this week to think about at home is, women, what have you learned from your husbands that makes you more godlike? Men, what have you learned from your wives that makes you more godlike? Or is that a long-lost goal that's no longer possible? Okay? You think about that for next week. Let's pray. Our kind and loving Father, we come here on Sabbath mornings because we believe that you are here and that you are longing for fellowship with us. As poor and feeble and mentally challenged as we are, you still enjoy being with us. We thank you for this time together. We thank you for your guidance in our thoughts. May we come closer to you as a result of these Sabbath mornings together is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for coming.